Hello, everybody. I'm F. Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. And yeah, say it isn't so. Yeah, it is official in the world of professional wrestling. The WWE's flagship show, Monday Night Raw, will be moving from the USA Network to Netflix in January of 2025. Monday Night Raw, Netflix, sounds a little weird to me. Got a lot to say about this, and to talk more about this, you know, I got to bring him back on the program. He's my guy when it comes to the football, to the wrestling, and everything else in between. Let's welcome him back to the program, my main man, Eric. Yo, E, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, Ed? It's great to be back on the show, and great to be talking about some wrestling, finally, a little something different from football.
Bro, you absolutely right about that, man. Before we get into this whole interesting situation with Monday Night Raw moving from the USA Network to Netflix, let's go back to the beginning, 1993 was the year when Monday Night Raw premiered on the USA Network. What were your thoughts when you saw the first episode of Raw, and just what were your thoughts when you saw Bobby the Brain Heenan and Vince McMahon and Lord Alfred Hayes, Sean Mooney, and the Macho Man Randy Savage on that first episode?
Oh, it was exciting. You know, I was 12, 13 years old, and I remember, I think the main event was Undertaker versus Kwang or something like that, I think. But, yeah, I was excited about it, knowing that we was going to have wrestling every Monday night, you know, different from Saturday night's main event. And it was on a USA channel, I believe, at the time, I believe still. But I remember like it was yesterday. I remember seeing the commercials for it and the advertisements for it, and I was definitely excited about it, something to do on a Monday night.
E, let me give you a blast from the past. This was the match card on the first episode of Monday Night Raw on the USA Network, January 11th, 1993. Yokozuna beat Coco Beware. The Steiner brothers squared off against the Executioners. Shawn Michaels squared off against Max Moon. The Undertaker, your favorite wrestler, went up against Damian Demento. And then there was a dark match with Crush versus Bam Bam Bigelow. So, bruh, some of these people are still with us. Some of these wrestlers are no longer with us, bruh. You talk about a blast from the past, bruh. That was the card on the first episode of Monday Night Raw. Long time coming, huh?
Yeah, wow, that was, I think it was only an hour long at that time, too. Yeah, but that was, when you heard Undertaker on that, and you heard the Steiners, and Yokozuna at the time was bigger than life. To see Yokozuna, and you only really heard about him a lot, you didn't see him a heck of a lot, because they didn't have him on TV a lot, unless you watched the pay-per-view, or you watched him on a house show. But to see him on Monday Night Raw, and it was awesome. And that card, just to hear that card, some of those names, you know, that's Hall of Famers on there, who's now in the Hall of Fame. So I enjoyed it. I really thought it was a good way to kick off that that Monday Night tradition.
Bro, the Undertaker went up against Damian Demento. Where is Damian Demento? Do you know what he's doing today?
No, I messed up and said Kwang. Yeah, I remember Undertaker was there that night, and I mean, he was like, I think, the last match. But Damian Demento, to be honest, I never heard him before or after. The only reason I know is because he faced the Undertaker that night. But no, I don't know where he's at or what he's up to. So I'm pretty interested to see where he wound up at.
Yeah, I guess he falls in the line with Duke the Dumpster Drozy and Waylon Mercy and all of them. So, but yeah, that was the first episode of Monday Night Raw, January 11th, 1993. Now, Eric, we got to tell our listeners, I remember this very well, and I know you remember this as well. Before Monday Night Raw, between the 80s and like the early part of the 90s, the WWE used to have a show on the USA Network called Primetime Wrestling. Do you remember Primetime Wrestling?
Yeah, I remember so much. I think it came on a Saturday, I believe, but I remember bits and pieces of it because, you know, I was a lot younger. You know, I was 10, 9 years old or whatever at the time. I couldn't really watch it all the way because we only had one TV in the front room, and if my dad wanted to watch something, we had to turn it off. But I watched some of it here and there. I do remember, you know, the Macho Man's on there and watching Hogan and Demolition. So I remember a little bit about it.
Yeah, Primetime Wrestling was a show that aired on Monday nights. and you had like Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain Heenan, and also Vince McMahon and Roddy Piper was on there. They would talk basically, it would basically be like a recap of the matches, like from Madison Square Garden and those house shows. I believe also Boston Garden was involved in that, but that was like the show that aired, that was like pre-Monday Night Raw. And I know USA also would air the house shows from Madison Square Garden and stuff like that, but anyway, that was before Monday Night Raw. There was a show called Primetime Wrestling. And then you had Monday Night Raw. And then, Eric, Monday Night Raw, bro, we remember the new generation very well with, like, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Undertaker, Diesel, Razor Ramon. Do you have any memories of the new generation in the WWE being on Monday Night Raw?
Oh, yeah, I find fine memories of, like you said, you know, Razor Ramon and Diesel. Shawn Michaels, you know, at that time was just now becoming a singles competitor coming from the Rockers. So he was just, I think he was probably, I don't think he won the Intercontinental title yet, but I know he was on his way to the top, and Scott Hall as well. And, yeah, that time, yeah, it was definitely a lot of stars today who are legends that was just trying to make their way in earlier in 93. So I remember a lot of them.
Yeah, bro, that was a fun time in the company. I mean, they were struggling though financially, and then the Attitude Era. So after the whole Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Montreal Screwjob, the Attitude Era began. And bro, the Attitude Era, that was a fun time in wrestling, with Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Triple H, D-Generation X, Kane, The Undertaker was also a part of it, Rest in Peace, China, also Sable was in the mix as well. But you also had the Monday Night Wars, bro. Monday Night Raw versus WCW Monday Nitro, bro. Just kind of for the listeners that may not remember, or the listeners that weren't around during that time, just tell everybody what the Monday Night Wars was all about and how important it was for professional wrestling.
I can remember Nitro came on an hour earlier, if you remember that. So it came on, and we would watch the first hour of Nitro. Then Raw would come on. Then we'll put on Raw, and, of course, you're flipping back and forth. And it was what a time to be a fan. I mean, you had WCW at one point. They had some good stuff going on. It just, I don't know what happened with them, but it was definitely a war with them and Raw, Nitro and Raw. I mean, it battled it out, and I tuned in. You know, we tuned in every week. We'd be on the phone most of the time watching it back in the early 90s. So, yeah, I remember that. That was definitely more competitive wrestling than it is today, because they really gave WWE a run for their money. When they signed Hulk Hogan and brought in Macho Man, and Goldberg eventually became a big star, and of course you had your Stangs, and yeah, it was crazy, because the very first night of Nitro, Luger came back that night. He was with WWE. The first night of Nitro, he came out. Sting was in the middle of a match, and he come walking out. So yeah, it was definitely a time to be a fan. That was a fun time.
Man, it was such great memories, bro. As we stated earlier, you had the Attitude Era going on. WCW Monday Nitro was in full swing. The NWO, Hulk Hogan, or Hollywood Hogan, he became a villain. And that was just such a fun time, not just in wrestling, but just in broadcasting and just in pop culture as a whole. Eric, can you explain to the listeners what turned the tide with the Monday Night Wars, with the whole Rock against Mankind situation, with the WWF at the time, title being on the line, Tony Schiavone going in and giving out the results. Can you explain to the listeners that story?
Yeah, they had the main event on Nitro going on, just about to come on, and I remember watching it, and Tony Schiavone said, "You could sit here tonight and watch whomever it was in the main event, or you could switch over to Raw and watch Mankind become world champ or something." And I was like, "Wait, what?" And it happened, and that was crazy when that happened. Everybody's eyes just got big when that happened, because I don't know, I think there's some kind of cardinal rule about doing that, but at the time, you know, I don't think Raw was filmed live, so they already knew the outcome, and somehow it leaked to Monday Night Nitro. That's how Rick Rude appeared on both shows in one night, because Raw wasn't live for a while, but Nitro was. But, yeah, I remember that night, and I think they messed up, because I tuned in because of that. I turned over to Raw to watch Raw to see that happen. You know, I didn't think it was going to happen. I was going to stay watching Nitro. But when he said, you see, man, I think that's what he said, see Mankind become world champ, I switched over. So I think they might have hurt themselves doing that.
Yeah, bro, that was really the nail in the coffin for WCW right at the end of the Monday Night Wars. And, of course, we know what happened. WCW goes out of business. Vince winds up buying WCW, all of the properties, and later he buys really all of the wrestling properties, ECW, a lot of the regional territories, just to name a few. So we talked about the Monday Night Wars, what he had against WCW, finally beating Ted Turner. So also, Eric, after the Monday Night Wars, we talked about Vince McMahon and WWE, their relationship for so many decades with the USA Network. They move over and have a run, a five-year run with TNN and Spike TV. That was very weird to me. Give me your thoughts on the whole situation with Monday Night Raw being on TNN and later becoming a Spike TV.
I don't know. I remember somewhat of it, but it definitely... Being on USA now is like the norm, so it's hard to really, it's been on USA for so long, but yeah, I remember somewhat of that. I don't think it had the same flash as it has on USA. But there's one thing I wanted to bring up right quick, when you brought up the NWO with Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Now, I don't know if a lot of people didn't know this. You may not have known this. Back at WrestleMania 6, before Hogan fought Warrior, Hulk Hogan went to Vince McMahon and said, I want to turn heel and I want to be Hollywood Hulk Hogan when I face the Ultimate Warrior. And Vince McMahon shot it down and said, no, just in case this don't work with the Ultimate Warrior, we can always come back to you as the babyface. So originally, Hollywood Hulk Hogan was supposed to premiere at WrestleMania 6 against the Ultimate Warrior. So when he went to WCW, ratings were dropping, and he really wasn't in WCW right at that time. He was contemplating retirement, but he brought that up to WCW, and they loved the idea. They're like, yes, let's turn you heel for the first time, and that's definitely going to draw a lot of attention, and it did, and that's when the war really started. So, yeah, Hogan was originally supposed to be Hollywood Hogan back at WrestleMania 6, but Vince McMahon shot it down. I just didn't know if people knew about that. I just wanted to bring that up to some people's attention.
Man, thank you for bringing that up. I didn't know about that either. I thought Hollywood Hogan was just a concept that came about right when he got to WCW and they wanted to do something different and shake things up. I had no idea about this. Well, thank you for letting me know and letting the listeners know about that strange twist, right? I didn't know that actually was in the making around WrestleMania 6. Wow, that was so long ago. Did not know that. But so let's move right along. So as we're talking about, we mentioned about the whole era with WWE Monday Night Raw being on TNN and then later becoming Spike TV. I want to stay just with that era for a moment, Eric. Do you remember when ECW was on TNN? They were on there for like a hot minute. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember somewhat of that. Yeah, I think they was trying to make that move, sort of trying to become bigger and get a bigger audience. I remember the move to that.
Yeah, man, I know ECW was on TNN for like a hot minute, and then once Monday Night Raw moved over to that network, and then it changed over to Spike TV, ECW fizzled out, and Vince would later buy that company. So during that time, Eric, we had... The Invasion. Vince buys WCW. We got the WCW Invasion. Booker T. Boy, you talk about being seeing Booker T on Monday Night Raw. Give me your thoughts on seeing Booker T and a lot of those WCW guys be a part of the Invasion.
I'll be honest, it was almost like a dream come true, because you always wondered, man, if WCW was to put their top talent against WWE, you know, if Sting, which who came later, you know, like you said, Booker T, Marcus Bagwell also was there, but they let him go quickly. He didn't do too well. Then, of course, Scott Steiner wound up coming in, and Jericho, Chris Benoit. It was insane to know that the possibilities of what could have happened, and eventually Goldberg came in, and that invasion was awesome. I remember when Vince McMahon cut the promo for that, he was facing the TV talking about, I'm going to do something I thought I'd never do, and the chair turned around, and behind the chair said NWO, and I remember thinking, wait, is he bringing NWO to WWE? And that was the plot of that, to try to destroy WWE because of his son, Shane McMahon. If you remember, Shane showed up on Nitro the last night of Nitro. So, yeah, that the whole little plot, that I thought that was pretty awesome. Genius by Vince McMahon.
You're absolutely right, Eric. That was genius by Vince McMahon, and to have the NWO show up. Again, it was almost like seeing some, you know, old faces again, and also seeing some new faces with the NWO. Hollywood Hogan, Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, of course, I mentioned with Booker T, and some of the WCW stars, Rey Mysterio being with the, Rey Mysterio was previously a WCW superstar, then coming over and making waves with the WWE. So we talked about the Monday Night Wars. We talked about the TNN Spike TV era, WCW Invasion. This next thing was a little confusing to me, Eric, because a lot of our favorite wrestlers that we watched on Monday Night Raw wasn't going to be anymore because of the draft, the brand extension. So we had separate wrestlers. There was the WWE draft. Some wrestlers were going to Raw. Some wrestlers wind up going to SmackDown. Give me your thoughts on the brand extension. That was a little confusing to me at first.
I didn't like it. Excuse me. I didn't like it. I still don't like it to this day, you know, because you only get so much on each brand now. Like, say, for instance, you got Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes on Raw, but on SmackDown you got Roman Reigns and Undertaker. Man, I might want to see, you know, Randy Orton and Undertaker go at it, but knowing they're on different brands, you're not going to see that. That's what I loved about Raw and being the only show, because you knew you're going to see everybody that night, and you could see any possible match. Then when they had the draft, and he drafted here, he drafted there, and they split up tag teams, they split up stables. I didn't really like it too much. Like I said, to this day, I still don't really like it. I'd rather just show one brand. You know, that's my opinion.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree with you, bro. Because when we saw this go down with this draft, and I get it, because they purchased WCW, ECW. They had so much talent, but they could only get all of that talent on a 3-hour show, and they had to split it between Raw and SmackDown and draft and all that stuff. And I get it, bro, but it was just weird not seeing all of your favorite wrestlers, not just on a Monday night, but also on a Friday night. Well, at the time, SmackDown, correct me if I'm wrong, it was on a Wednesday night or a Thursday night or something like that. But they had the brand, they would continue with the brand extension during the draft and wrestlers flip-flopping and things of that nature. So, Eric, they returned after 5 years at TNN Spike TV. They returned to the USA Network, rightfully so. We talked about the long relationship that they've had with that network. And in 2012, they wind up going to a 3-hour show. Give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I remember when they went to a 3-hour show, they said they started having the advertisement Raw moving to 3 hours. And I can remember thinking, wow, that's that length of a pay-per-view every Monday night. But they make it work. They make it happen. You know, some of the shows get a little boring, but usually it's pretty entertaining. But, man, 3 hours on Monday night, and they still going 3 hours. So they got to be doing something right. But I like it. It's 3 hours of wrestling, you know, at its best. So I liked it when they did it. I never not liked it.
Yeah, man. I mean, as we were stating earlier, there's a lot of talent that they have on that roster. And when you, as they say, when you're currently the only big game in town, you got to expand the show. And they did it right by expanding it to up to 3 hours. So, Eric, Monday Night Raw expands to 3 hours. They're back on USA. They've been back on with the network since 2005. But the unthinkable happened. It was announced that the flagship show, WWE Monday Night Raw, will be moving exclusively to Netflix on January of 2025. And they're going to have a 10-year contract, which is worth $5 billion. When I heard this, I was sad behind this, man. All of the years, we had so many great memories on the USA Network, and now you're moving exclusively to Netflix. And I get it, it's business, but, man, this is really a sad day for a lot of not just devoted Raw watchers, but just wrestling fans all over. Give me your thoughts when you heard Monday Night Raw was moving to Netflix in January of 2025.
I think it's a horrible idea. I mean, the money's big, but I mean, you got to think of, all right, if I'm paying for Netflix, and I'm pretty sure they're going to go up on the price. It's done went up twice since I've had it. You know, I basically got it for my kids, though, but of course I'm going to watch Monday Night Raw on it. I don't want advertisements. I mean, if I'm paying now to watch Monday Night Raw on Netflix, I don't want no commercials. I want 3 hours of straight wrestling action. I don't want no buffering. Hopefully, you know, you got to have internet now, then you got to purchase Netflix now. So, I mean, some people probably only have cable right now, and their kids enjoy, you know, Monday Night Raw USA with the cable. But, you know, once that's gone, now what? You got to get the internet, then you got to get Netflix. You know, like you said, some people complain that sometimes it's a buffer, or sometimes I watch Netflix in the middle of a movie, sometimes it just turns off and switches back to the home screen on my TV. So then I got to go back to Netflix, go to my account, go back to the movie, reserve for, you know, 6 minutes done passed, and then 6 minutes, you're going to miss out on some good wrestling action. So I thought they should have stayed on USA. I don't like this Netflix thing. I don't mind the pay-per-views being on Peacock, but Monday Night Raw to be on Netflix, something that you watched all these years on USA, for free, pretty much. It's with your cable bill, but now you got to purchase Netflix, purchase internet. I'm not cool with it. I don't like it.
Yeah, but this does seem a little strange to me. Before we get into WWE Network and Peacock and the other big show that WWE has, I want to stay just with Raw for a moment. So the move will be official. So again, in January 2025, WWE Monday Night Raw will move to Netflix, and it'll be a part of a 10-year contract worth $5 billion. With Raw moving over to Netflix in January of 2025, do you think the show was going to change creatively, whereas things they weren't able to do on USA? Do you think they're going to have kind of like more of like Attitude Era storylines with the switch over to Netflix in January of 2025?
That's I don't know. I guess that's tune in to see, because, you know, even though they're moving to Netflix, even though it's no longer on a cable platform, now you're on Netflix, who has movies with cussing and nudity in it and violence. But they still got to remember, even though they're on Netflix and they may have the power to do all that, you're still going to have a young audience, too. You still have the 10-year-olds, the 11-year-olds who enjoy watching their programming. So I don't know what the limit's going to be on there. You know, is it going to be more of an Attitude Era? Is it not? Or are they going to, now they're going to have more bloody matches or not? You know, it's interesting to see how they do that. But I don't know. It might be the Attitude Era. It may have more, like I said, blood may have more violent matches. I don't know how far they're going to go with nudity with the female division. See, I don't know. I guess we're going to have to tune in January and see what direction they go.
Yeah, absolutely. I think also the direction we just talked not too long ago about WWE Monday Night Raw being a three-hour program. I wonder if it's going to remain 3 hours when it switches over to Netflix in January of 2025. That remains to be seen. I wonder, you talked earlier about the WWE Network. Now, Peacock and the WWE Network have a contract up until 2026. I believe it ends, I want to say, you could correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's February of 2026 or something like that. So the question is going to be, I'm reading something right here. You can correct me if I'm wrong. It says the WWE struck a deal with Netflix that will begin in January of 2025. This will effectively shut down the WWE Network in international markets outside the United States. So when the Netflix deal comes about, Eric, if you live outside the United States, you won't be able to get the WWE Network. I mean, how do you feel about the people that live outside of the U.S. and in those international markets?
Yeah, I seen something about that too. I think maybe they'll eventually be able to get it. I don't know if it's going to be right away, but it's weird. I mean, they're losing fans, I think. They're losing, you know, people like the content. They want to watch it, and some of them can't watch it once that new deal strikes. So I don't know what's that going to be about. I guess eventually they're going to be able to watch, but yeah, I don't understand that, the angle on that and why. I don't know. That's weird.
Bro, I'm just going to continue here with the new deal. Netflix is going to gain the rights to all WWE programming and premium live events beginning in the period once the Netflix deal starts. They're going to get all of the rights to all of the WWE programming and premium live events outside of the United States. Now, the deal with Peacock ends in March of 2026. And this move, they said, is effectively going to merge the WWE Network into Netflix streaming service. Now, you mentioned about subscriptions. You've already had to go through several subscription hikes with Netflix. Netflix is going to have another reason to bump up the subscription. They may go through a multi-tier. I don't know what's going to happen. Kind of give me your thoughts on Netflix now going to use the WWE as an excuse to raise their prices again.
I mean, all right, say you have Netflix and say you're paying, I pay $19.99 a month, I believe, but I'm a wrestling fan. So if they knock it up $10 more, okay, I'm going to pay that because I want to watch wrestling. But if I'm not a wrestling fan, are you going to charge me $10 more to have Netflix, even though I don't watch that content? So I don't know if it's optional, if there's an option to where you could get this Netflix package for movies, but we also have this Netflix package for this amount with WWE content. Do you have an option to choose? I'm sure they should have that because I don't want to keep, I know you ain't brought up Peacock yet, but on Peacock, you have that option. You don't have to pay to get the WWE content on Peacock. You could not take it if you don't want it, which I take it because I watch my Peacock and my WWE, but yeah, it's weird. I guess they're going to give you an option. Like I said, I'm pretty sure they're going to have to charge, you know, $5 billion in 10 years. They're going to have to up the price on Netflix. That I could promise you they're going to. So I just hope it ain't nothing outrageous. You know, I'm keeping Netflix. Like, it's done went up on me twice already. But like I said, just like with watching it, what's going to happen? Only time could tell.
Man, you're absolutely right about that, Eric. Only time will tell. There's so many questions with the WWE Monday Night Raw going over to Netflix. It's effective in January of 2025. Once the move happens, people that live outside of the United States, they won't be able to get WWE Network because that move is going to merge into Netflix. And then meanwhile, in the United States, the Peacock deal ends March of 2026, so most likely the network is going to merge into Netflix for people that live in the United States. So certainly, boy, as they say, the times are changing, and we'll see how that's all going to work out. And, you know, before we get on out of here, Eric, we talked about moves. SmackDown, October of 2024, SmackDown is leaving Fox, moving to the USA Network. So USA, they lost Raw, but they're going to get SmackDown. Just give me your thoughts on SmackDown returning to the USA October 24.
Yeah, I seen that happening. I don't know what the contract or what the deal with SmackDown going on USA, but it makes me think that eventually SmackDown will be on Netflix as well, probably. But I don't know what the deal is with USA, if it's a 5-year, 10-year. But SmackDown's been pretty good lately. Roman Reigns, he's been putting eyes on the TV. So I think it might be good for USA to gain SmackDown. But and like I said, once again, all this time will tell with all this. It's all new to us. This is crazy. I mean, you never had a stream, you know, a Raw, SmackDown, any of that. It was always provided, you know, on TV for you. And this is all going to be different to a lot of people. But, you know, SmackDown going to USA, I think that might be a good move, though. I think SmackDown's been doing pretty good lately.
Yeah, SmackDown's really been good the last several years. Really, since they've been on Fox, they've been pretty consistent. And E, check this out. I found some information about this. So the contract with USA or the contract with NBC Universal is reported at $1.4 billion over 5 years. And also as a part of the agreement, WWE will produce 4 primetime specials for NBC per year. Although they didn't say if it's going to be wrestling shows or other content such as documentaries. So when you lose your flagship show, Monday Night Raw, you know, they got to sweeten the pot and kind of give USA something in return. So they're going to get SmackDown in October of 2024. And also, too, NXT. NXT is going to be moving to the CW. For those that don't know what NXT is, that's WWE's development territory. Eric, I know you're not too familiar with the wrestlers in NXT, but kind of give me your thoughts on NXT moving over to CW in October of 2024.
Yeah, like you said, I don't really know much about it. I don't really watch NXT, but, you know, move, change sometimes is good, you know. So they get a fresh start somewhere on a different platform, a different channel. So let's see what happens with the NXT. I'm pretty sure it's probably a big money deal as well. Otherwise, I don't think they would have moved or even tried to keep NXT. So, because I don't really watch NXT, I couldn't tell you much about it. But hopefully it does well over there. You know, they're moving for a reason, and someone wants them. The CW wants them, and I'm pretty sure people will be tuning in.
Yeah, Eric, I mean, hey, times are changing, and we've got the streaming services, streaming platforms. People have had their they've had their ups and downs with this, and it's definitely going to be interesting. Eric, I got to ask you quickly about AEW and Impact. AEW currently airs on the Turner properties. They have programming that airs on TBS and TNT, and then Impact is currently, as the show is airing, is on Access. You think do you think AEW and Impact, they're going to get an increase? More people are going to watch them because they're still on cable television?
Possibly. And I don't watch either one of them. I'm not a big AEW fan at all. I couldn't tell you nothing about them. I couldn't tell you who their champs are. I didn't even know TNA, I didn't even know they was even still around. But some people still watch them. People, they're still on air for a reason. So, yeah, I still think people will be watching them as well. You know, I think there's plenty of content, you know, wrestling-wise to go around. And who knows, maybe AEW down the road might go onto a streaming service and get a big multi-billion-dollar contract. You know, who knows, maybe that might be the new way of things. Hey, there might even be a Super Bowl 1 year that's going to be on an app. I mean, anything's possible. That might be the future. Maybe WWE knows something we don't know. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting.
I don't like the sound of the NFL or the NBA being on streaming platforms, at least not in the foreseeable future. I think the NFL has a good a good solid relationship with broadcast television. I mean, that Kansas City Chiefs Buffalo Bills playoff game, I was reading it said over 50 million people watched that. So, I mean, the NFL's got a stronghold right now. The NBA has a steady stronghold as well. But, you know, Eric, the USA Network, the WWE, right? Primetime Wrestling, also All American Wrestling, Action Zone, WWF Mania, WWF Superstars, WWF Livewire, the list goes on and on. Give me your final thoughts on, I guess you say it's the end of an era with Monday Night Raw no longer being on the USA Network.
It's the end of an era and the start of a new one. You know, it's probably going to be weird at first, but I think after a while, after a few years of watching it on Netflix, it's going to become, I guess, normal, just like anything else. So, like I said, streaming devices may be what the future is. I mean, look at Thursday Night Football. You got to watch that on primetime now. You know, it's on Amazon Prime. So I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But WWE, obviously, I mean, look at this big, massive deal they just got, $5 billion for 10 years. That's insane. So, I mean, these apps come a call into the NFL and start throwing all these other big, big, big numbers at them, you know. Anything's possible, so who knows. But, yeah, let's go see what happens with this. I mean, I'm kind of bummed about it, but also a little excited to see, all right, commercials. Maybe, like I said, maybe more blood. You know, sometimes you like to see a little blood in some matches. You know, first blood matches and steel cage bloody matches was the thing of the 80s and 90s. But I don't know what their limit's going to be on Netflix. Got to tune in, I guess, to find out, you know.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that, Eric. This was, as always, is a lot of fun, man. Thank you so much, as always, for being on the program. You know, if ever you want to come back on, you know where to find me.
Oh, most definitely. Appreciate being on.
All right, and that's going to do it for this edition of The Robinson Show. He's Eric. I'm yours truly, Ed Robinson. Until next time, everybody, remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.
Modern life is noisy. Noise is everywhere. Excessive noise is harmful, linked to sleep deprivation, hearing loss, and heart disease. Should noise be the price we pay for progress? Actually, no. Many noise sources have quieter options. Gas-powered landscaping equipment is obsolete, with battery-powered options greatly reducing noise and air pollution. Audible car alarms are obsolete, with vehicle immobilizers and GPS tracking providing silent anti-theft technologies. Quieter backup warning sounds are available, and adjustable directional sounds are less intrusive. So what can you do to reduce noise levels? Talk to store and building managers about safe sound levels. Work with elected officials and the police to strengthen noise enforcement. Join Noise Free America, a coalition to promote quiet.
I'm Greg Rome of Talbert Carmouche and Marcello, and I'm a local attorney. I've called Baton Rouge home for my entire life. I know this city, and I know how to fight for this community. I believe Baton Rouge is a special place full of people that deserve nothing but the best in and out of the courtroom. If you're looking for a local attorney, I'd be honored to fight for you as my client. For a free consultation, call 225-240-1948 or visit tcmlawoffice.com.
Responsible attorney, John Carmouche, Baton Rouge.
Williamson Cosmetic Center and Paranac Aesthetic Surgery, where you can schedule your Botox with a top provider in the country. All of our injectors are master experts, and we're the home to two national trainers. Schedule your appointment with us today, 225-927-7546. Williamson Cosmetic Center and Paranac Aesthetic Surgery, where you can schedule your Botox with a top provider in the country. All of our injectors are master experts, and we're the home to two national trainers. Schedule your appointment with us today, 225-927-7546.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ruben Patel with Patient Plus Urgent Care. These days, it can be hard to find the time and money to take care of yourself. We're here to help with our new Urgent Care membership. Starting at $20 a month, the same as your car wash membership, visit any of our locations for that scratchy throat, runny nose, fever, chills, or any injury. Visit patientplusuc.com/membership for more information. PatientPlusUC.com/membership.
Oh, should we start this show?
Yeah, I'm down. Just buying a car on Carvana first.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, it's super convenient. I already got pre-qualified in 2 minutes. All I had to do is answer a few questions.
Ooh, that's helpful.
And now just customizing my down and monthly payments.
Ooh, that's a very fair deal.
Yep. Boom. Just bought a car. And you get to take me to the Carvana vending machine in a couple days to pick it up.
Ooh. I'm kind of busy.
Visit Carvana.com to finance your next car.
Financing subject to credit approval.